Today I'm going to talk about the outward appearance, and this morning I really want to speak to two different groups of people. Number one, those who have been judged by their outward appearance. Number two, those who have judged others by their outward appearance. Now let's be honest, we probably all fit into both of those categories. But let's start with those who have been judged by their outward appearance. Has anybody ever been the victim of this type of injustice? Just wave your hand. Thank you for being brave enough to raise your hand this morning. I know that took a lot of courage, and everybody else is lying. But listen, I think we have all dealt with this from time to time. When I was a little boy, people used to make fun of my big nose. Listen, you think it looks big now? It was this size when I was 7 years old. So people would ridicule me. I used to hate my nose. People would call me Rudolph, they'd call me Pinocchio, they'd call me Toucan Sam, they'd call me Snuffleupagus, they'd call me Nostradamus. Listen, the names went on and on and on. And I hated my nose until one day I discovered a hidden talent. Because I can sniff out a Bojangles biscuit from 300 yards away, so the joke's on them because I'm going to be the first one to breakfast. Listen, we all have some weird things going on. Don't look at me like that. You know it's true. We all have something weird going on somewhere. Look at your neighbor and tell him I see what he's talking about. Listen, don't feel bad. We all have some issues. And the truth is, all of us would probably change something about ourselves if we could. Think about it. There's a reason why cosmetic surgery is a $20 billion a year industry. We all have little imperfections, but that's not the problem. The problem is when we allow those imperfections to shape our identity. People have major issues with the way that they see themselves, and here's what they do. They try to change the outside, thinking that will somehow fix the way they feel on the inside. But unless you fix the inside first, nothing on the outside will matter. How do you fix the inside? By learning to see yourself the way God sees you. First of all, God doesn't even look at our outward appearance. You need to understand that. God doesn't judge us by what's on the outside. I think about a guy in the Bible named David. You see, it was time for a new king of Israel, and God sent the prophet Samuel to go to the city of Bethlehem to a man named Jesse's house. God told Samuel, "Samuel, one of Jesse's sons, is going to be the next king of Israel." So what did Samuel do? He went to Bethlehem. He knocked on Jesse's door. He told Jesse the good news. Jesse was excited, said, "Come on in." And what did Jesse do? He grabbed his best sons to present before the prophet. And one by one, Samuel looked them over, starting with the oldest. And look at 1 Samuel 16, verse 6. "So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab. And he said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.'" You have to remember the first king of Israel, his name was Saul. Saul was a popular guy. The Bible says that Saul stood head and shoulders above every other man in Israel. Paul was tall, dark, and handsome. He was good looking. He was popular. And I think that when Samuel went to the house of Jesse, he was looking for a similar guy to be the next king. And he looked at Eliab, and Eliab looked like Saul. In other words, he looked like a king. Eliab had it going on. Tell somebody he had it going on. I think the word Eliab is Hebrew for Channing Tatum. But listen, the prophet Samuel, he took one look at Eliab and he thought, "This has got to be the one." But look at the next verse. Look at what God said. "The Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his outward appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" So everybody in the room, including the pastor, including Samuel, everybody thought that Eliab was the chosen one. Everybody except God. Because God doesn't look on the outward appearance, he looks at the heart. And the one that God chose, this is funny to me, the one that God chose didn't even get invited to the party. Little David was out working in the field, and nobody even thought to bring him in to present him before Samuel. Listen, people may overlook you. People may discredit you by the way you look, but God knows who you are. He knows where you are, and he knows what you're capable of. And God never consults the opinions of other people to determine your future. People said, David's a nobody. Nobody cares about scrawny little David. David stinks. David smells like the sheep he's been hanging out with in the field. David runs around singing songs and blowing kisses to Jesus in the field. David's a weirdo. That's what people said about David. But God said, David is a man after my own heart. People looked at David and said, David, you're nothing. But God looked at David and God said, David, you're going to be the next king of Israel. People may look down on you and write you off, but if you belong to Jesus, let me tell you something, you are royalty. You are a member of God's royal household. You're a child of the King. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You've been bought with a price. You are extremely valuable. You are somebody to God. Look at somebody and tell him, I am somebody. Doesn't matter what other people say about you. The only thing that matters is what God says about you. Well, what does God say about me? Let me tell you this morning. When you put your trust in Jesus, this is what God says. John 1:12, you're a child of the Most High God. 1 Peter 1:23, you have been born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Philippians 3:20 says that you're a citizen of heaven. Ephesians 2:22 says that you are the dwelling place of God's Holy Spirit. Matthew 5:14 says you are the light of the world. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says that you are an important member of the body of Christ. Ephesians 1:18 says that you are no longer a sinner, you are a saint. Galatians 3:13 says that you have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Ephesians 1:13 says you are blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. 1 John 5:18, you are born of God and the evil one cannot touch you. Colossians 3:12, God says that you are chosen and loved by me. Jeremiah 29:11, God says your life has a purpose, your life has a destiny, and God has good plans for you. Ephesians 2:10 says that you are God's masterpiece. Romans 8:37 says that you are more than a conqueror. Ephesians 2:20 says that you are secure. Romans 8:2 says that you have been set free. 1 John 5:4 says that you are victorious. Philippians 4:13 says that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Oh, I'm not even done yet. Philippians 4:7 says that you have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Philippians 1:6 says that God began a good work in you and he will bring it to completion in your life. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And Romans 8:38 says nothing will ever separate you from the love of God. That's what God says about you, and that's just the beginning. I haven't even begun to scratch the surface. When God looks at you, he doesn't view you in light of other people's opinions. He views you in light of his word, and that is what God says. This is what I see when I look at your life. Remember that God doesn't see people the way we see them. Aren't you glad for that? Listen, all of us have felt ugly at some point. Come on, all of us have heard the song, U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly. Come on, all of us have felt that way at one point or another, but I heard a quote recently that really impacted me. It said, God loves ugly, but his love makes everything beautiful. Learn to see yourself the way God sees you because it changes everything. Now, before we leave, I want to talk briefly to those who have judged others, by the way they look. And I doubt there's anybody in this room who is not guilty of this. Okay, we've all done this at some point in life. Is anybody here brave enough to admit that they've been guilty of that crime before? Y'all are very brave. Listen, if you won't admit it, I'll admit it. I have definitely been guilty of this. I remember a time in high school and there was a dance coming up. And anytime there was a dance coming up, I would start going through my list. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, I started making my list of people that I was going to ask to the dance. And here's what I would do. The first five names on the list were people that I knew would say, absolutely no, no way, I am not going to be seen with you in public. But I'd always put them on there anyway because the Bible says you have not because you ask not. One day, number one said yes and became my wife. I'm just saying, y'all need to up your faith a little bit. Hallelujah. But listen, I was working through my list. And I already had a couple no's checked off. That's all right. I had about 50 on the list. I was going to get somebody to go with me. I was going through my list when one day my mother asked me, who are you taking to the dance? Now, guys, y'all know the last thing you want is your mama wanting to help find you a date to the dance. I began to get very nervous. My heart was racing. My palms were sweating. And I said, why do you ask? She said, well, I know you've already had some no's because I can tell by your answer. So, listen, before you keep going down your list, let me talk to you about a girl named Emma. I was thinking, okay, Emma. Who is Emma? She said, oh, she is the sweetest, kindest, most wonderful person that you'll ever meet, and you really ought to take her to the dance. Now, I didn't say yes, but no was not an option, if y'all know what I'm talking about. So I just played along just to save face. I said, okay, well, let me meet this Emma. So I go to meet Emma, the mystery date, and I walk into the room, and I thought there was this guy standing off to the side, and I said, hey, man, have you seen Emma? And she said, I'm Emma. Who are you? I said, nobody. Got to go. I called my mama on the payphone. Any of y'all remember what those used to be? Call her on the payphone and said, Mama, you said she's so wonderful, but Mama, Emma looks like Willie Nelson. Well, you didn't tell me that girl has got a bigger Adam's apple than I do. I'm scared of her. Why are you trying to get me to go to the dance with her? Haven't you seen how she looks? See, I'm confessing all my sins to you this morning. Y'all keep it a secret just between us and everybody who listens on the internet. But I said, haven't you seen how Emma looks? And she said, well, I didn't notice that. I didn't notice that. You see, I was looking on the outside. She was looking on the inside. Now, I'll say this. When you're looking for the person that you're going to marry, for the person that you're going to look at every day of your life till you die, you need to do the best you can, all right? You need to work hard and do the very best you can, so good luck with that. But when it comes to the kingdom of God and when it comes to loving people with the love of Jesus Christ, there is absolutely no place for looking on the outward appearance. We have to learn to see people as God sees them, okay? So let's get back to the Emma story. In case you're wondering, yes, I ended up taking Emma to the dance, and we didn't dance long because she was trying to lead, and I was like, sir, I don't dance like that. I'm just kidding. I made that part up. But listen, I did take her to the dance. Seriously, I took her to the dance, and, you know, God has a sense of humor because we became really good friends. Not only did we become friends, but she started going to our church and got involved in the kingdom of God. So I thank God for that. But do you know that people make fun of me to this very day for taking her to the dance? To this very day, people say, aren't you the guy that took Emma to the dance? They make fun of me. And you know what I do? I hit him in the face with my big nose and I knock him out. That's what I do. Uh-huh. Listen, people can be mean. People can judge others by their outward appearance, but God never does. And as his representatives, neither should we. Amen. You never know what you're missing out on when you write people off based on the way they look. Jesus said in John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So it went from the example of how God sees people in the Old Testament to a commandment from the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. We are commanded not to judge people according to their appearance. Jesus said, judge with righteous judgment. What is righteous judgment? 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Righteous judgment is evaluating people not based on their outward appearance, but based on God's mercy and compassion through Jesus Christ. In the 1500s, there was a Frenchman by the name of Marc-Antoine Muret. He was a brilliant scholar. He had actually been the personal advisor of a number of church leaders and a number of kings and queens. Muret, in his later years, had grown ill and had fallen on hard times. And though he had limited resources, he became so sick that he presented himself to a group of physicians. He was dressed in torn and dirty clothes. He didn't have any money, and his would-be caretakers assumed that he was a bum. In fact, the doctors discussed his case in Latin, thinking that he wouldn't be able to understand them. One of the physicians said to another, "Faciamus experimentum in anima vili." In other words, let us experiment with this worthless creature. Imagine their shock when the bum they were treating responded to them in Latin, saying, "Vilem animum appellis pro qua Christus non degnatus est mori." Will you call worthless one for whom Christ did not disdain to die? Listen, every human life is valuable. No matter the outward appearance, that's somebody that Jesus gave his life to save. People say that the value of anything is what somebody is willing to pay for it. Listen, God determined your value when he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross to save you from your sins. God paid the ultimate price for you. Psychologists say that your self-esteem comes from what the most important person in your life thinks about you. I want to challenge you this morning. Why not make Jesus the most important person in your life? Why not let Jesus define who you are? If you don't know him this morning, take time to know him before you leave today. Choose Jesus today. Choose Jesus now. Let this be your day of destiny. Somebody, you're going to write down when you leave this place today, November 1st, 2015, was the day I gave my life to Jesus. Was the day that I was forgiven, the day that I was set free, the day that God gave me a new beginning. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's no greater love than that. No greater love. Listen, come to Jesus just the way you are. I think so many people miss out on God because they think somehow they have to become presentable. They have to clean themselves up. They have to make themselves ready to come to Jesus. Listen, if you're getting your own self ready, you'll never make it. Jesus didn't put any qualifiers on it. He said, whosoever will, come. Come to Jesus just the way you are. Give your life to him. And you know what? He'll be the one to change you and set you free and to clean you up and to give you hope and a future and a new identity. We can't save ourselves. Only Jesus has the power to save. But the good news is Jesus never turned anybody away. He never turned anybody away. Will you put your trust in him today? You have an opportunity right now this morning. to put your faith in Him. Listen, don't let another day go by under the guilt of sin. Surrender your life to Jesus and let Him set you free. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank You that You don't see us as man sees us. God, I thank You that You don't look on the outward appearance, but You look on the heart. And Lord, I pray that You would search our hearts this morning. God, if there are any of us gathered in this place today or listening by CD or online, Lord, that desperately need to give our lives to You, God, give us the boldness and the faith, the audacity this morning to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. Thank You, God. Lord, You'd established our value on the cross. You paid the ultimate price. You said You're worth it. You are to die for. God, You gave Your all for us. Lord, may we give our all for You. If you're here this morning or you're listening online, you're ready to make that decision to put your faith in Jesus, I want to lead you in a simple prayer to help you start your journey of faith in God. I want you to repeat after me. In fact, let's all pray this prayer out loud together. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, I come to You now just the way I am. Lord, I surrender all to You. I give my life to You. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. Set me free. Make me a new creation. I put my faith in You today. And with Your help, I'll live for You the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Praise God. If you made that